Hello and welcome. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Here in the Vatican, mellow autumn sunshine for scientists attending a meeting technically known as the Plenary Assembly of the Pontifical Academy of Sciences. Just imagine these scientists, a select group of them, reaching here from across the world, Catholics and non-Catholics alike. Gathered deep in the quiet of the rambling and manicured Vatican gardens to discuss predictability in science, its accuracy and limitations. In no other place than the stillness of a centuries-old mid-Renaissance masterpiece signed by the famous architect of that period, Piero Ligorio. It's the Casina Pius IV, named after its patron pope, and decorated with stunning stucco work outdoors and elaborate frescoes indoors. Inspired, as often happens here in Rome, both by the pagan and the Christian worlds. So while these eminent men and women meet to discuss the predictability and accuracy of science over complex issues on things especially relevant to modern society, such as, for example, climate change and its potential effect in triggering earthquakes and fallout from skies, or indeed in provoking pandemics, such as bird flu or the SARS virus, I thought I'd step back from these anguishing issues that affect us all, only to briefly spin the tale of this age-old pontifical academy once known as Lincei, or Lynxes. And I do so by respecting our weekly rendezvous with our popular Latin lover, who explains this and goes on to much more. I'd like to speak to you about the Pontifical Academy of Sciences, Roots in the Past and Eye to the Future. That's the subject of our conversation today. What is the Pontifical Academy of Sciences in Latin?
Well, it's a Pontificia Academia Scientiarum. It's very simple. Pius XI, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, didn't he do that?
Roots in the Past.
Radices in Praeterito. Et Prospectus in Futurum Tempus. Well, you can say that, and that's easy.
It grew out of the Accademia dei Lincei.
Which had nothing to do with the church, of course.
No.
But I mean, in that sense, and yeah, certainly they wanted a specialized
group there. 1603, the Accademia dei Lincei, how would you translate that into Latin?
You know, Linceus, yeah.
Lincei means lynx.
Yeah.
The animal, to indicate the sharpness of wit of the scientist.
Of the eyes, of lynx eyes.
The eyes.
Yeah, that was smart. I mean, that was clever. That these guys were supposed to have sharp vision. Bzzzt.
How'd you say that
to
in
see
Latin?
Things, you know, aciem acerimam habere debebant. So that's why they call them the lynx people.
It was the earliest of all modern scientific academies, wasn't it?
What, the Lincei?
Yes, the Lincei.
Yeah.
Now, we know that it's been granted a charter of foundation by the Pope, who founded Vatican Radio, Pope Pius XI, on the 28th of October 1936. Well, we know that. But what I wanted to...
This is the pontifical academy. Yeah.
This grew out of the academy. Academia. I'm just indicating the popes who were involved with the Academy of Science. Pope Pius IX, who was elected in 1846, was very attentive to science, wasn't he? No?
Yeah. Things were happening in those days fast.
Mm. But he had problems because the political stability of the papal state was disrupted, no? In 1870. How do you say that in Latin?
Well, peruptest. Pax statuum pontificiorum.
Do they speak in Latin, the scientists who belong to this?
Oh, I don't know. It's up to them. Maybe some would, like foreigners. They could carry on a little conversation at the coffee bar or something. I don't know.
Coffee bar.
Yeah, in Termopolio is the bar. I don't know. It depends on whether they're capable of it or not. I don't know.
Talking about bars, during the Vatican Council, there were two bars under the Cattedra Petri in St. Peter's Basilica.
Mm.
One was called Jonas and one called Barabbas.
Really?
What do you know about that?
I just thought there was one in the one corner there. I didn't know there were two. Maybe on both sides. Yeah. I know they set the thing up, you know, and, like, took off a corner of St. Peter's.
Do you think they would have spoken in Latin at those
Well, in those days, certainly they did, and the bishops among themselves. And Pericles and Felici and all these other guys directed the whole council in Latin. From the pulpit up there, Felici, for 4 years, gave instructions at 10 o'clock we'll meet, or tomorrow is a free day, and all this other stuff. He was announcing everything in Latin. Now you can't do that anymore. You saw in the Synod of Bishops, they said as soon as someone would start Latin, the bishops would put on earphones for a translation. Huh. Of course, I imagine the Pope and all these people, they presume that all these scholars know Latin, which I think is, a false presumption, because they don't.
But you were speaking about translations at the council. There were no simultaneous translations at the council. How do you say simultaneous translation?
Interpretatio, simultanea interpretatio.
And expressions like press conference.
Yeah, that's all right. Colloquium cum scriptoribus diurnarius, that you can say.
Editorial process?
Edendi rationes.
Emendation.
That's all right. Emendatio is Latin anyway.
Electronic voting system?
Electrica suffragandi via. That's easy.
Reporting on the council where bishops were a dime a dozen. How'd you say that?
Dime a dozen. Well, I can say a dime a dozen. Duodicim numulova venibant. 12 were for sale for a penny.
During the council, there was one cardinal who had his microphone shut off because he went over time.
During the synod, you mean?
No, during the council.
Vatican II.
Vatican II. Cardinal Ottaviani.
Oh, really?
Had his microphone shut off because he went over time. How do you say that?
Well, excessit tempus. Et interclusa est altissima eius tuba. His speaker was shut off. Interclusa est.
The story goes he was so offended that he didn't attend the sessions for a while. And and the little story going around Rome, which is one of those little jokes, which was probably told in Latin, I don't know, was that he took a taxi and he said to the taxi driver, "Al concilio," and the taxi driver took him to Trent.
Oh, no. I mean, all the way up to Trent.
How do you say all that?
Ach, that's silly. As though there's only one, I know, there was only one council, the Council of Trent. Bah, that's ridiculous, of course. But anyway.
How'd you say that in Latin?
Es absurda fabella.
Absurd. Absurd tale.
Story, yeah, tale.
What are your memories of the council? Did you ever see the bishops passing Time magazine along
the Well, we didn't see. I was a student in those days. I saw them go in and we followed every day. That was the exciting stuff about the council. We have like a resume, you know, like in the Observatory Romano. This bishop said this and that.
In Latin.
That was in Italian.
Already?
I mean, yeah, there was just the journalists in the Observatory Romano would just, you know, give a little, you know, 10 bishops spoke today and each what each one said. But, I mean, it was an incredible, exciting time. I mean, things were just happening and being said and that were inconceivable. I mean, people just didn't talk that way and the problems didn't exist, you know, before and all of a sudden they existed. I mean, to have some bishop get up and say something, which today would be old stuff, you know? But in those days, it was incredible. You know, maybe we should let some lay people read scripture from the pulpit. You know, that kind of stuff. Well, no one ever heard of that before, and so that was all interesting.
How do you say that in Latin?
Ante anumquam talia audivarat quisquam. No one had ever heard that stuff before. Well, that's what I remember about the council. And of course, we started getting these things in school, you know. As the documents were issued, then the next year, we would have conference or have classes on these documents. And so, it was wonderful. I was kind of looking back, you know, where have all the flowers gone?
How do you say, where have all the flowers gone?
Qua vieron flores omnes.
Doesn't mean anything in Latin.
No. Well, they had poetry and they had the, you know, last rose of summer. The Romans had that kind of stuff.
I'm sure it doesn't mean anything. Where have all the flowers gone?
No. That wouldn't kind of make an impression.
It was a mammoth task, the council, wasn't it?
Really? That's another thing. To look at those documents and how this was written and rehashed and discussed and everything else. How'd you say
mammoth task?
Ingens opus. Opus ingens. Immensum. Interminatum opus. To think of it. And then between the councils, these things were redone and redone and redone according to, you know, the voting and the suggestions of the fathers. This went on for years. Really, you have to give them credit, absolutely. And the Pope, and following all this, and then they had to promulgate all this stuff, and I would say make sure that it was put into effect.
Oh. What were the two popes of the councils Latin like?
Well, both. I mean, well, John, he was the old diplomat and everything else. He just took it for granted. Paul VI, of course, was
more subtle.
Finer. Education and more subtle and so forth and so on. But people don't realize in those days the knowledge of Latin was just kind of, well, it's like anything.
Taken for granted.
Oh, absolutely.
How do you say taken for granted?
Pro concesso. Summe bater lingua latine cognitio. Everyone knew Latin.
Okay, give me two words in Latin to describe John the 23rd's knowledge of the language, and two words to describe Paul the VI. Beginning with John the 23rd. Well, you said he was a diplomat.
Usitata latinitatis consuetudo, a normal custom of Latin. That's what he did.
And Paul the VI?
Amplior latinitatis cultus, as a scholar, you know. But as I say, in those days, you might fail in theology, but everyone in the world knew Latin. People don't realize how much has been lost.
So how can we look at Latin with our roots in the past and an eye to the future?
I don't know what you're going to do.
How can you say that in Latin?
I don't know what.
Looking at Latin with our roots in the past.
Linguam latina respicientes, cum veteribus radicibus et prospectu in posterum, I can say it. And with a view to the future. But I don't know what kind of a future there's going to be.
With lynx's eyes.
Oculus lynceus. Lynceus oculus, that's where they got the lynx from. It's supposed to be so clever.
Sharp eyes.
Oh, yeah. Everyone, that was proverbial.
I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me.